This is Radio Boston. I'm Adam Ragusea in for Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. When United States Marine Lance Corporal Justin Ellsworth was killed in Iraq in 2004, his parents sought to gain access to his Yahoo email account. Now, Yahoo refused, but after a highly publicized legal battle, Ellsworth's parents were eventually given a copy of their son's digital correspondence.
The case cast a light on the fast-growing and often complex world of the digital afterlife. As we conduct more and more of our lives online, much of our legacy will be represented in zeros and ones, and that raises questions about how that legacy will be preserved, if at all, and who will have access to it.
Now there's legislation making its way through Beacon Hill that might make you start thinking about this a little more often. A bill passed the Senate last week, and it would require email providers to grant access to the relatives or representatives of the deceased.
Evan Carroll is co-author of the book Your Digital Afterlife and co-creator of the website thedigitalbeyond.com. Evan Carroll, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So before email, this was all relatively easy. When somebody died, their important letters or their documents were, you know, saved in a shoebox somewhere in the attic for the family to just go through, or was in a safety deposit box, which you could get access to. But email just isn't the same thing, right?
No, email is actually very different. In fact, email is one of the most important digital assets we have, mainly because email, like your traditional mailbox, is how your personal representative will learn about and gain access to various accounts that they may not know about. And in the tangible world, the mantra in estate planning used to be not to worry about getting everything in your will because something would eventually come in the mail. But unfortunately, as we conduct much more of our business online, we're receiving correspondence and various statements via our email, and it becomes a very important record of our life.
Yeah, I think that's especially true for people below a certain age. I mean, all of my bills are paid online. My email archive is essentially my filing cabinet. My whole life is in my Gmail archive. So tell us, what happens now in Massachusetts and in most states to your email when you die?
Presently, how your email is disposed of, so to speak, is governed by the terms of service for your email provider. So for instance, Gmail has a process where your personal representative can file certain paperwork and gain access to your account. Conversely, Yahoo, as in the case of U.S. Marine Justin Ellsworth, does not allow access. And the only times we've seen them granting access has been through substantial legal battles like Mr. Ellsworth.
I think we've established why this is important here, and that explains why this legislation is making its way through the Massachusetts State House. Can you explain essentially what this bill would do?
This bill would essentially give your personal representative a means to access your electronic mail accounts. A couple of interesting things I read in this particular statute is that if you specify contrary in your will, you can specify that your personal representative should not gain access. The other thing is this bill states that it supersedes all of those various contractual terms you've agreed to with your various email providers to say that they have to do this, which is a really good thing for a law to do because it standardizes how we deal with this important digital asset.
So a few other states have done this already, right?
That's correct. Connecticut and Rhode Island have statutes that specifically grant access to electronic mail. Oklahoma grants access to email accounts plus all sorts of other social networking and online assets. And Idaho has a similar statute, and Indiana has a statute that grants access to all electronically stored documents. So those are the sort of five other states who have specific laws in place. And I do know that the Uniform Laws Commission, a national organization that suggests laws to various states, has also taken up the issue and is in the process of forming a committee to write standard legislation that would be a suggestion to states.
I can imagine why this is an issue that might need to be standardized across state lines because, say I die, I live in Massachusetts, and my wife needs to get access to my Yahoo account. Sure, Massachusetts law says that she's entitled to it, but Yahoo is based, I assume, in California, and the server is God knows where. Aren't there going to be cross-jurisdictional problems?
There absolutely are, and many of the terms of service, and in fact, most of them state the choice of law being wherever that entity chooses to have it. So for Yahoo, the choice of law is in the state of California. So even though your estate will be executed from the state you're domiciled in, which in your case would be Massachusetts, that agreement is executed under the laws of California, and any litigation generally would be done in California. Now, what we have not yet seen is any sort of litigation where this has sort of been challenged, because there's a principle of conflict of laws where, you know, the two laws can be compared to each other and worked out, but many of these terms of service even go so far as to state that there's no provision for conflict of laws, which means that it's doubtful that the estate law in Massachusetts would apply to the account in California.
Well, I'm sure nonetheless that there are some listeners who are thinking right now, I don't necessarily want my relatives to have access to my email. There are things in there that I want coming with me to my grave. So is there a way around the inherent privacy danger here?
Well, so privacy is a very interesting point, because oftentimes in the law, you compare new digital things to their tangible equivalents. So several years ago, the Supreme Court actually said in a decision that an email was comparable to a first-class letter. Well, if we compare email to traditional mail, unless you tend to hoard your documents, you only have a few of them, and if you gain access to your mailbox, you get the new mail there. Versus with electronic mail, it's very possible for you to have a record of everything you ever sent and everything you ever received, which is very different than your tangible mail. So that's where the privacy implications come into play. But it's important to realize that while there is the privacy of the things that have been stored previously, there's also the need for your estate to be settled, and the fact that your heirs may not know about various digital accounts you might have, and there might be assets that are highly valuable to your estate that they can only gain access to through your email account, because your email account often serves as a master key to other accounts. And, you know, when you get that email and it says, hey, click here to reset your password, that's a means of your email account being used as a master key. So you kind of have to really balance estate planning and making sure you can transition easily to your heirs to handle your estate versus ensuring your privacy. So the absolute best thing that I would recommend to an individual is that you plan ahead and you make your wishes known to your heirs. You leave lists of your usernames and passwords for them so that they can gain access and sort of make sure to shape your legacy a bit. And if you want to hide something away, take efforts while you're still alive to hide it away.
Evan Carroll is the co-creator of the website thedigitalbeyond.com, and he's co-author of the book Your Digital Afterlife. You can find a link to his site forever and ever at radioboston.org. Evan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, up next, have you wanted to take time off from work to care for a child or a parent, say? Paid family leave policies are only required in a couple of states, so should Massachusetts be next? Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. This is Radio Boston.